Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Welcome to Irate Tireless Minority, and today's show is entitled Belly Feel. And why is that? Well, the word belly feel is from Newspeak, and Newspeak is from George Orwell's novel 1984. And the word belly feel means a blind, enthusiastic acceptance of an idea. The word likely comes from the idea that any good Oceanian, which is the nation of the novel, should be able to internalize party doctrine to the extent that it becomes a gut instinct, a feeling in the belly. And that's about where we are right now. Where we are right now is a nation full of belly feel. And I'd like to welcome Bigfoot and Red Fox Blogger to the chat room. Glad to see you here. And I have a caller on hold, but there's a little question mark, so I'm going to bring them on it right as we start and see what they have to say, unless they're just listening, in which case I apologize already. So, hello.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
I figured you would want my point of view about the recent goings-ons in Charlotte and every other place. And, yeah, this is Thomas, by the way.
Oh, I know. I recognize your voice. Well,
oh, okay.
I would like your 2 cents worth, but I'm going to wait and get to you in the religion section, if you don't mind.
Okay. That'll
okay.
work.
All right. I'll bring you back on in a few minutes, God willing.
Yep.
And, all right, we're going to start out with, and, you know, in the show description, I've also put so much stupid, so little time, because we are a nation of people just engulfed in belly feel, absolutely engulfed. People who say, oh, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because it's time we had a woman in the office. That's belly feel. That's the mainstream media pushing their lies, pushing their agenda, their narrative that, oh, we must make history again. We've made history once, making us better and more wonderful by putting a black man into the office. Now we must bring up the women as well. And it doesn't matter that the woman they're pushing is a ruthless, arrogant, treasonous criminal who needs naps. No, but we're putting a woman in the office. That'll make you feel good. Oh my gosh. It just makes me want to slap people. It makes me want to wake up from this horrible, horrible nightmare that we have an electorate in which, because she's a woman or because he's black, is a legitimate reason to vote for anybody for any office. It's madness, absolute madness. And now I'm going to talk real quick here. I hope to be real quick, although it probably won't be because it infuriates me, about Mr. Obama's speech to the UN. Saying things like, We can only eliminate extreme poverty if the sustainable development goals that we've set are more than words on paper. You know what those sustainable development goals are? Those sustainable development goals are to get people all into megacities and not allow anybody to be out in the forest, because that's cruel to the forest. It's destructive to the forest to have people living there. Oh, my gosh, we can't have people living out in the world. You know, the NOAA 2020 vision for fisheries in the world's oceans. Well, people don't really need to kill their fish. They only need the experience of fishing, so they can just do that by sitting on the bank with a fishing pole that doesn't have a hook or a lure or anything that would actually catch a fish. That's their goal, to have people not actually fish. The people I know who fish, including relatives and stuff, they fish because they're on low income. Not all of them fish because they have low income, but they all eat their fish. They fish to catch fish and eat them. Some of the people I know do have low incomes, and they fish so that they can catch fish to eat them, because that's a source of food for them that they don't have to pay for, except, of course, for the fishing license. I understand making sure there's enough fish that they replenish themselves year after year. I understand that you don't want to overfish something. But the idea that people shouldn't be allowed to fish unless the government says so is truly, truly annoying. Truly annoying. And we can, let's see, we have to put our money where our mouth is, blah, blah, blah. We can only realize the promise of this institution's founding, that would be the United Nations, to replace the ravages of war with cooperation if powerful nations like my own accept constraints. Has he read the Constitution? Does he understand the treasonous nature of what he just said there? Does he understand it? Sometimes I'm criticized in my own country for professing a belief in international norms and multilateral institutions, but I am convinced that in the long run, giving up some freedom of action, not giving up our ability to protect ourselves or pursue our core interests, but binding ourselves to international rules over the long term enhances our security. I say again, has he read the Constitution? This country is not about accepting the constrictions of other nations or the UN. This country is not about giving up our freedom of action. This country is about people making their own decisions and following their own paths, as long as those don't interfere with the rights of others to do the same. You have a right to bear arms unless you use that right to rob your neighbor. That's where that right ends. All natural rights have natural limitations. Then he continues, if Russia continues to interfere in the affairs of its neighbors, it may be popular at home. It may fuel national fervor for a time, but over time it's going to diminish its stature. Really? Really? If Russia continues to interfere in the affairs of its neighbors, what? You mean like complaining because of your recent strike that killed the wrong guys? Go to Vlad Tepes' YouTube channel and look up the recent Russian comments on the U.S. strike in Syria. Who are the good guys here? I don't know anymore, and that's a problem. He talks a lot about workers. Let me just say, workers, there's no such thing as a worker. To label huge numbers of individuals as workers rather than people who are working puts the mindset of communism to the forefront, because it says they are a subclass of people below the elites. They don't make decisions. They don't know how to make decisions for their own lives. They don't take responsibilities for their own lives. They're just workers, you know, like drones in a bumblebee drones in a bee colony. The very language of this is incendiary. It absolutely is. So I'm just going to read Article 3, Section 3, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, meaning levying war against the United States, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. After Benghazi, in Libya, Mr. Obama personally released $25 million of supplies for aid and comfort to our enemies, to groups who had come from Afghanistan and Iran, who had fought our troops there and who intended to go back there and fight our troops again. Those are our enemies. Anyone who is a Muslim at this point is our enemy, and we should have recognized that long ago. They have always been our enemy, because in Islam there is only Dar al-Harb and Dar al-Islam. Dar al-Islam is the house of Islam. Dar al-Harb is the house of war. And if you're not in the house of Islam, you are in the house of war. They are our enemies. Somebody wearing a hijab is making a declaration of war against the United States. And I am sick and tired of hearing the nonsense that it is not. Now, before I get more into Islam here, Mr. Obama's speech to the UN, absolutely deplorable. He should be impeached for that. I have been calling my rep daily, not weekends or holidays because I'm civilized, daily since shortly after Benghazi when I realized nothing was going to be done, to demand impeachment. Join me in that effort. It takes 2 minutes. The aides are unfailingly polite. Call your representative, because impeachment needs to start in the House of Representatives. And I'm going to move on quick here, hopefully quick, to an article by WorldNet Daily, but Judicial Watch has also covered this, and they are quoting a report to the Obama administration from the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. It says that state and federal laws should be changed to provide that gay rights trump the religious rights protected in the Constitution. Let me read to this commission from the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Shall make no law. Which part of that doesn't get through your little commissioner brains? Am I saying that Congress should allow the free exercise of Islam? No. I'm saying that the United States should deport Muslims. Deport them. Stop bringing them in and deport them, because they are at war with us. Would we import soldiers from Nazi Germany while we were at war with them? Would we have imported Japanese citizens while we were at war with Japan? No. Why not? Because it's stupid. How stupid are we? Because they're not bringing in guns and other weapons to kill us with. Oh, wait, yes, they are. Because they're not saying death to America. Oh, wait, yes, they are. There was a gathering for Free Palestine in Chicago just a few little while ago in which they were chanting death to America. Deport those people. Round them up at the parade and deport them immediately. Death to America. Fine, get out. Okay. When are we going to wake up to the self-declared enemy of Islam inside our borders? Thomas, you're on deck here. Share with me what you have come to share.
Yes, ma'am. I don't even know where to start. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Well, you have a lot of goings-ons. I start with the terrorist attacks, 3 of them on my birthday, which I did not even know about at all. I mean, I literally saw no need at all that day on my birthday. St. Cloud, New Jersey, and New York.
Yep.
So
the quote-unquote president of the United States and his minions and whatever you want to call them.
Minions is good.
Has nothing to say about that. I don't think he still addressed, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he's yet addressed these attacks. But I heard that Josh Earnest came out and called it some type of narrative. ISIS is trying to push a narrative to deface or defile the religion of Islam. First of all, to all you useful idiots, once and for all, Islam is not a religion. It is a political ideology ruled by religious law. Islam is not a race, because if it was, you wouldn't have white Muslims. You wouldn't have black Muslims. But that, unfortunately, has been lost on the dumbed-down American millennial generation. So, let's fast-forward to the police. Huh?
I said yes, the precious snowflakes.
Yes, the precious snowflakes. I know why you said that, because of the video of the 500 freshmen attacking their professor because he made them feel so unimportant because somebody wore a snowflake as a costume. But I digress. See, Mom, I wouldn't have never made it in college with liberal because I would have verbally destroyed all of them. I'd have been like, are you really that stupid? I'd have been like, I see you. I'm withdrawing. I'll take the grade you're giving me because I would rather take a zero, flunk the class, and withdraw than to learn from an idiot and be around idiots like you. And that's what I would tell them. Because if you lack that much uncommon sense, I don't know what to tell you. And I don't want to have nothing to do with you. And that's where I stand. But I want to fast forward to the police shooting. There was one in Charlotte.
Yep.
And there was one in, where was the other place? I forget the other. But let's talk about the one in Charlotte.
Okay, I have not read a lot about that, but you're on your own here. Go.
The one in Charlotte, that's the one where they said calling for the death of white people, but the guy was shot by a black cop.
Same thing in Milwaukee.
Same thing in Milwaukee, but yet, let's kill white people, kill whitey, kill whitey. You know, I posted a story on my Facebook page about a young lady who was brutalized by her father. He was 18 years old. And I just found out from my niece, that was my niece's friend. I did not know that when I posted that story.
Oh, my.
But this man, 40 years old, 2 years younger than me, you sick twist. This is a clean, wholesome show, so I'm not going to say what I want to say.
Thank you.
But you do that to your own daughter. And this is the problem I have with black folks, my community, getting up in arms about injustices of the police. Now, here's the deal. You can cry all you want to. You're always talking about black-on-black crime. Well, hey, idiot, the Bible says you remove the log from your own eye before you try to remove the speck from somebody else's. The problem is we don't have no accountability. We don't want to be responsible for the choices that we make.
and then we protect the criminals and thugs in our own community. T.U. Somebody in that man's influence, circle of influence, knew that he was a pedophile.
Yep.
They knew that he was abusing his daughter. But rather than turn them in, they turned a blind eye. And I can't speak for the rest of the community, but I can speak for my own. That happens a lot because it happened to me when I was little.
It happens a lot because it's such a shameful thing, and it's hard to admit that it's happened to you.
Right.
You know,
but the reason why I can admit it,
yeah.
Mom, the reason why I can admit that is because I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony.
Amen.
So that's where I'm at. And there's many people that choose to be perpetual victims. As something comes up in my life that's a hurt, I allow the Lord to heal me. I don't dwell on it. You know, because
you
it defeats
the
purpose. What's that?
Or you ask for the loving path, the path that the Lord would have you take through it, so that you can see it correctly and truthfully and choose what to do with it.
Exactly. And really, there's only two choices that you can do with it, Mom. If you think about it, you can choose path number one, which says, God, I surrender this to you. You take my hand, guide me through this. Or you choose path number two. You can allow it to fester, cause you to become cold, hard, and callous. Now, here's the issue. And I'm speaking this way because I do love my community. The vast majority of black people are not bad people. Unfortunately, we have allowed our self-identity to be absorbed into the Democratic Party. I mean, think about it. When you have a president who your community elected, voted for, at a 98% clip the first time and a 95% clip the second time, but yet he says he's not just the president of black America, but for all Americans, and then proceeds to push agendas for the LGBTQ community, illegal immigrants, non-Christian Muslim refugees, let's see, Hispanic. What else can you say? And then you completely ignore your community, if you will. You say you're part of the community, unless it's something that helps you politically, that helps push your narrative of racial divisiveness. This is the issue with Obama. Obama's only had one black girlfriend in his life, and he's now currently married to her. His grandmother and grandfather were anti-American racists. They were communists. And by default, communists are some of the most racist individuals walking the face of this earth.
Yep.
In fact, in 1971, the Congressional Black Caucus was started by the Communist Party USA to help further their agenda. That's why the Congressional Black Caucus does not really do anything to help bring up the black community. They help keep the black community in check. That's all they're paid to do.
Yep.
Maxine Waters, Sheila Jackson Lee, John Conyers, John Lewis, Rangel, whatever his name is.
And is there a congressional white caucus?
No, there's
not. Is there
not
a congressional Asian caucus?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
There's a Congressional Asian Caucus. There's a Congressional Hispanic Caucus. There's a pro-choice caucus.
And you know what all those caucuses have in common?
They're pushing the narrative of communism.
No, not just that. They all belong to the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the so-called Party of the People, why are you segregating people in your side of the aisle in Congress into groups? Oh, there's us white liberal slave masters over here, and y'all are loyal subjects. That's basically what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to hear that truth because, Mom, we have a lot of useful idiots.
Yes,
and bringing
it
to the circle, Obama has the audacity to say that if you vote for anyone other than Hillary, you will insult his legacy.
Oh, I know.
That comment actually woke up a lot of black liberals, and they are ticked. Now they'll still, go vote for Hillary like good little sheeple, but they just want a plain outrage. How dare you say that? You can't tell us what to do while doing exactly what he said you to do. And so that's my kind of humorous but serious narrative, because at the end of the day, what did Walmart have to do with the black man being shot by a black cop, and he actually had a gun in the car? But hey, that's not important, as long as the media can push the narrative. And it's conveniently interesting that this is all happening when Hillary starts slipping in the polls. And no,
isn't
I'm not voting
though?
For Donald, but it is interesting. Think about that.
All right, I will. And I'm going to chop you off because I'm at the 2-minute mark, basically. Well, 3 minutes.
I'm done.
But thanks for calling in, and I hope to see you again.
You will, Mom.
All righty. excuse me. On Doing What's Right, I have oil pipeline leaks show the importance of prepping, because I have a friend in South Carolina, and he posted that he runs a business, and he posted that he's going to have trouble doing his auctions and sending things because they're running out of gasoline. They just don't have any. They can't get any. And then a friend of his posted on his timeline that her husband is a trucker, and who's one of the truckers who's bringing more fuel to North Carolina, but that there's not very much, and what there is will probably cost you about $20 a gallon. And he said that, this friend said that the situation is not likely to be truly cleared up and back to normal for at least a month. Now picture yourself in your community without access to gasoline. That means no trucks bringing stuff to the grocery store, no gasoline for your car to bug out somewhere unless you keep it full and have, you know, ready to go. It's important to be prepared to shelter in place, to have the food you need, to have the gasoline you need, to have the things you need to survive on your own without the stores or the government. And vote out of integrity rather than fear. My son was having a discussion on Facebook with a friend of mine who referenced me in support of herself, and she's a great lady. She really is a Tea Party supporter all the way. And he said, but when you say vote for Trump so that you're voting against Hillary, you are voting out of fear and not out of integrity. And how many of us are doing that, voting for the lesser of two evils, or voting to be voting against a candidate instead of finding a candidate that shares our values and voting for that one in faith that God will motivate other people to do the same? That's not the same as saying two-party system stuff, and I know people disagree with me on that, but have a little faith. God will provide a candidate if you go look for them. All right. Quite frankly, I don't see it happening, but God's bigger than me, so I can hope. Have a great day. Thanks for joining me. We are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. And call your Congress people and tell them to defund the resettlement of Muslims in this country. All right? Keep the enemy outside the walls.